strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Raider. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown. Throws end zone for Fitz. Goes up. He makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
This isn't merely the Big Red Rage. This is Ron Wolfley's idea of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Wolf, this is your kind of show.
Oh, I can hardly wait for this one, Paulie.
Your guy, Larry Centers, is the featured guest tonight.
The man with the biggest calves in the world, Basinonians. Don't at me on that, by the way.
There will be stories. There's no doubt about that. There will be stories.
Hey, listen, I only played with a kid 1 year. All right, 1 year I only played with Larry Centers. That was all it took.
Hang on. Did he take your job, Ron Wolfley?
I think yes.
Really?
I think he took my job, Paul. Is that what you wanted to say right there, Paulie? Was that the beatdown you wanted to give me, you and your forehead?
No. All these years that I've known you and I covered Larry Centers, I never made the connection.
Well, Paulie, let me just say this right here. First of all, I went Plan B. Plan B was a form of free agency, as a matter of fact, where you could go ahead, if you were a general manager, you could protect, I believe it was like 43 guys. 43 guys you could protect on your roster, Paulie. And then all of a sudden, if you had free agents where you had maybe, I don't know, 10 guys you could actually let go, your bottom 10 of your roster, well, you know what? You could go out and actually try to negotiate a new deal. And that's what I did. I want Plan B to the Cleveland Browns, as a matter of fact, which meant you were not Plan A.
That was the difficult question I was trying to think of how to formulate and pose was, in Larry Wilson's mind, Larry Centers was Plan A,
right?
And then you went Plan B.
That's right. Okay. As a matter of fact, I tried to stay with the Cardinals as well, Paulie. I did. I tried to stay with the Cardinals. Went for a walk with Larry. Larry took me out and lit one up, of course. Larry walked me down and said, Ron, you need to take this deal. That's what he said to me. I kid you not. This is one of the reasons why I respect him so much. They were moving on. They knew they were moving on from me, right? And they also knew, Ron, you cannot turn that deal down from the Cleveland Browns. They were looking out for me even as they were sending me away.
Well, let's just say you guys were different skill set players anyway. You had how many career receptions?
Don't worry about it. It was 23, Paul. What's your point?
Because in 1995, Larry Centers caught 101 passes in 1995. What? And then in 96, he had 99 more receptions.
Wait a minute. You're talking about one of the best fullbacks, receiving fullbacks, maybe ever to play in the history of the game. And you're going to compare me to that guy.
I'm just saying you shouldn't take it personally because you were different players. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I was a different player.
I'm trying to let you down easy.
So, in other words, Larry Centers had all the talent. If you're listening right now, Larry Centers had all the talent, and I had nothing.
No, that's not what I'm doing.
I really was.
I was coming out Pauly positive. This is your show, not only because of Larry Centers, but also because earlier today, the owners tabled that proposal that would have offered 4th and 15 as an alternative to the onside kick. So good news for you on that one. Now, they spent a long time talking about it, 20 or 30 minutes worth, and the straw poll reportedly was 16 up, 16 down. So they're going to talk about it again in years to come. But for now, ding dong, it is dead, 4th and 15 from your own 25.
And I'm happy to say that it is.
All right, earlier today as well, Patrick Peterson met the media. So before we get to Larry Centers, we're going to revisit what Pat P. had to tell the media and just how bullish he is on this 2020 Cardinals team. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Snap to Jones. Back to pass. Blitz coming. Jones hit. Lost the ball. It's scooped up by the Cardinals. Patrick Peterson forced the fumble. Reddick picks it up.
Pat P on the corner blitz, baby. And it got home.
Shotgun snap to Breeze. Pitches left. Now throws a deep ball near side for line. And it is intercepted by Patrick Peterson. Pat P gets the pick. Mayfield with a short set. Looking to throw. Fires left side. End zone passes high and intercepted in the end zone by Pat P. And then Peterson takes the ball and throws it about 20 rows up into the end zone stands. It's a touchback after the Pat P INT.
Patrick Peterson with the pick, baby.
That's the way you end a season. The month of December was the Pat P we remember. After we know how the beginning of the season, how it all got off. But then, to truly end 2019, how about a nod to the all-decade team, Ron Wolfley, on the Big Red Rage, brought to you by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. Patrick Peterson meeting the media earlier today, and he said about being named to the all-decade team, quote, "It was truly a blessing. I cried when I got that." He said, "I literally thought it was a joke." And so, just to see how meaningful it was in his eyes as he did a Zoom conference with the media, and the fact that he was named to the all-decade team along with Chandler Jones and Larry Fitzgerald, the Cardinals very well represented, the current Cardinals very well represented on that team.
What I loved about Pat P and what he was talking about today, and we're going to get into this a little bit later in this beautiful broadcast, but Paulie, he's a motivated guy. This is a focused, motivated guy. And when Pat P has been focused and motivated in the past, look out.
And you know, the other thing, and we're going to hear from him in person, and how he said, wait and see what he has in store for Cardinals fans this year.
Hey, it's a proven league, Paulie.
Yeah.
That's the way you should proceed.
And you know what? You can't help but think that he's buoyed by the fact that he's so confident in what he sees on this roster on both sides of the ball. The depth chart on this team is so different, so radically different than it was a couple of years ago. And in fact, here he is, and he's just talking about what he sees in this Cardinals team and how, in his mind, there's no doubt the Cardinals front office is in a win-now mode with Kyler Murray going into year two and on that rookie quarterback contract. Here's Pat P.
In NFL, you only have so many windows, and you have to take advantage of those windows. As you know, I was part of one of those windows a couple of years ago, and I definitely feel that this can be that window for us right now is wide open.
And that's the thing. I mean, if he was in year two or three, okay, and he made those comments, but he's been there and done that. He's been on division-winning teams that made it all the way to the NFC Championship game, teams that were loaded, teams that went into the season with expectations and hopes of reaching a Super Bowl. So for him to make these kind of comments that are so bullish on how he thinks the Cardinals have a legitimate shot this year, it can't help but raise an eyebrow and get your attention.
Yeah, Paul, he's so right about the window analogy as well, right? If you don't have a quarterback in the National Football League, you don't have a window. You don't. You have a wall is what you have.
No QB, no chance.
That's exactly right, Paulie. If you don't have a quarterback that you think, hey, this could be the guy, and we're going to try to build around this guy, you don't have a window. You've got a cement wall. Well, the Arizona Cardinals, they have a guy they believe they're going to build around. They have a window. Now, a Tom Brady, when actually you sign a Tom Brady, you bring him in, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you go ahead and bring in Tom Brady. Now, all of a sudden, you've got a sliding glass wall window. You've got a huge window, right? Yet, at the same time, how long is he going to be there? With Kyler Murray, you got a big bay window right now, right? And that window of opportunity means where are the pieces around Kyler Murray, offensively and defensively?
He mentioned how he thinks, in his opinion, the Cardinals are, quote, definitely a championship caliber team. I mean, that's saying something considering they won five games a year ago. You know, now we all know what happened with the 49ers, and they went from four wins to the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship. We know the Packers the year before had won six games, and they made it to the NFC Championship game. Okay. But I think it's when he looks at all three levels of the defense, and not just the fact that you have Vance Joseph and the system returning, but they've plugged a lot of holes. Here's Pat P on the D.
All the players are coming back. The coaching staff is coming back. We understand one another. We understand how to practice. Now, it's going to be like, we're going to be like Siamese cats. You know, we look at one another. Gotcha. Give them a wink. Gotcha. Let's roll.
No doubt about it, Paulie. I absolutely love the defensive side of the ball and, of course, the additions on the defensive side of the ball. But you got to remember, this defense now, we're going to see the true Vance Joseph defense. I know Vance Joseph to be a guy that's going to play the 3-4 defense, Paulie. He's going to close the middle of the field with the safety. That means there's going to be a safety down the middle of the field, right? More times than not, he's going to play man cover in front of that. He's going to play a lot of press man cover in front of that, right? And not only that, but he's going to bring pressure with five. Typically five. He likes to bring pressure with five and play man with guys like, oh, I don't know, Pat P, Robert Alford, Byron Murphy, lock it down on the outside and have Byron Murphy in the slot. I am bullish on this defense and the prospects of this defense being significantly better.
And there's a connection, there's a correlation as to why Pat P is so fired up. Because he thinks this is the sort of system that fits his skill set. This is what he's suited to do. This is what he's always done for an ultra-aggressive Todd Bowles and James Betcher. It was that one year in the Steve Wilks defense, and he was pretty honest about that today with the media, where he just didn't consider it a good fit for him. A 4-3 where they're playing quarters coverage and a lot of zone, and yep. That's not Pat P's game.
No, that's not his game right there. Can you say press man? Say press man! Because that's exactly what he wants to play. And he can also play man off, back off, make it look like he's going to play some zone. And yet he's playing man. He's very good at that as well. Vance Joseph is going to take advantage of his strengths.
Can you say Larry runs, Larry catches, Larry centers? He is next on the Big Red Rage, brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Plummer back to throw. Looks up the middle. Now he dances. Now he runs. Plummer's on the 10. Plummer throws in the end zone to a wide open Larry centers. He's got it. He scores.
Oh, and Jake Plummer just sucked everybody to him. Larry Centers is standing on the top of the Redskins helmet out in the corner of the end zone. Nobody around him. And Jake Plummer puts it right on the numbers to number 37, Larry Centers.
That was circa 1998 at Washington. The Cardiac Cards, down the stretch they came. They just kept on winning and then secured that playoff win at Dallas. I was there in January of 99. It was unreal. That was quite a collection, not only of players, but of characters on that team. And Ron Wolfley here on the Big Red Rage, circa 2020. If I would have told you back in 1990, when a fifth-round rookie out of Stephen F. Austin walked into the running back room, that you would be interviewing him some 30 years later, and I'd be calling him the original Larry legend, and the chance of Larry at Sun Devil Stadium were actually reserved for Larry Centers, and he'd be on the line now joining us on the Big Red Rage. What would you say to your former teammate?
I'd say, Larry, how are you doing, my brother? How are you, man?
I tell you what, Wolf Dog, man, I'm doing great. How you holding up these days, man?
I'm doing well, buddy, holding up well. There are two things you need to know, Paulie, when you think of Larry Centers. Number one, he's got the biggest calves in the world. Did you know that? That's number one right there.
I could use some of that.
And number two, maybe the most talented person ever to come out of Stephen F. Austin.
All right. So it begins. Here we go. Here we go.
I'll tell you what. They say when someone's paying you a compliment, never interrupt them. So I had to wait them out. But, you know, there were other guys out of Stephen out there who were just as talented, but, you know, hey. They didn't have big cash.
Yeah, they didn't have the big cash right there, and they didn't have the great hands. When you think of yourself, Larry, when you think of your career, do you see yourself as a fullback?
Yes.
You do.
But it's not the traditional fullback. You were one of the – we said you're the original Larry Champ, but you were one of the forerunners of really evolving that position, especially when it came to catching the ball, Larry.
Well, you know, first let's go back a moment, and I'm going to ask you, Wolf, what is the definition of a fullback?
Well, a fullback, I would say, it's changed over the decades, as you know. But a fullback, basically, when I played and came into the league in 1985, you were going to be a hammer. That's what you were going to be. And a Mike linebacker was going to be the anvil to your hammer, basically. And that's what you were going to do. You were going to block a ton And I would say that you caught the ball and you were known for your skill way more than you were known for your blocking.
Okay. Well, you know what? And I appreciate your keen perspective. What I will say this, you know, anytime you're on an ISO, you're a fullback. They can call you an H-back. They can call you a tight end. They can call you a wide receiver. But if you're on an ISO or a lead draw, you get to be called a fullback on that play.
That's a good point, Lair. It is a good point right there. If you're going to run the power, you're going to play fullback. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. You got to be the lead guy, though.
Okay, see, I had hands of a blacksmith, right? You know that from our time actually playing together.
Hey, listen. Hey, man, you were a banger, man.
Larry,
is that all you're going to say? Wait, Paulie. Is that all you're going to say, Larry? Go ahead and keep it. If you're going to compliment me, once again, to use your logic,
right.
I'm not going to interrupt you. What
Don't
else were you going to say? What else were you going to say, Larry?
Let me get it all out. You are a tremendously tough guy. You are the kind of guy, as Joe Bugle would put it, the kind of guy you wouldn't want to meet in an alley.
Is there anything else, Larry? Larry, you know what? When you watch the fullback position in the NFL, right, what do you think of? Because I've got a lot of thoughts on what's happening right here. It's an ebb and flow with a fullback position in the National Football League. Give me your thoughts on the position and whether or not you see a future for the fullback.
First of all, and I'll answer the question in reverse, yes, I do see a future. And everything is cyclical, by the way. You know, everything comes around. I appreciate the way that Kyle Juszczyk is being used with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yep.
I think he's being used in a very meticulous way, somewhat like I was being used at certain systems in certain systems that I had the fortune of playing inside of. You know, I think every player who is an eligible receiver. He needs to be ready to be the hero.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what's going to happen. Hey, we need all hands on deck. And I don't think a fullback, just because his primary responsibility is to go in there and be a slug mouth, I don't think he should ever let his guard down on the fact that the teammate be called upon him to make a play.
So, Larry, we're on board here. It's all about you, Larry Centers, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. When you had 101 catches in 1995, when you had 99 receptions in 1996, how many of those were checkdowns? And how many of those were plays where you were the primary option or two?
200.
200?
200. All of them was checkdowns or something that we need to do to make the ball go past the sticks.
So in other words, yeah, you were saying 200, meaning you were making a funny right there, like, right, Larry?
Read into it what you shall.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Always be ready whenever you're on the football field as a player. If you are an eligible receiver, always be ready to have to make a play, to be in a position, be prepared to make a play. It's like baseball.
Right.
You have to consider whether the ball's coming to you or not. What am I going to do? Am I going to go to first? Am I going to throw it to third? Am I going to double pump it back to the home to hold the third base off and then fire it to first? What am I going to do?
Right. Larry, tell me about how many Cardinal games have you been able to actually watch? Have you been able to follow them closely?
Not closely, and I can't put a number on that.
Okay, what do you know of Kyler Murray? What do you know of Kyler Murray? Because you're from Texas as well.
Well, I watched him in high school. I happen to know his father. I know that he is more than anything else, before we even start talking about the talent level, I know that he is a grade-A competitor. He won't quit. He's gonna give you every shot, no matter what the situation is. I understand that about him, just by watching him from afar. But other than that, you know, I know, you know, I've talked to Judah Cobb and a couple other people about him, and they, hey, guy's a real deal. So, you know, I'm just watching from afar, but I think I have confidence. I'm rooting for not only Kyler Murray, but Cliff Kingsbury, who was a teammate in New England or somewhere I played, and Michael Bidwell and the organization and the town as a whole. And I'm rooting for the Cardinals. Hopefully, with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, I think Kenyon Drake, I think they'll take him over the top.
That's right. You were teammates 2003 with New England when the Patriots won their second Super Bowl. You got a ring, but for a time you were teammates with Cliff Kingsbury, weren't you?
Yes.
Interesting.
You know, you always told me you were going to get a ring, Larry. You always told me that. Where is this thing? Do you actually carry this thing around?
I don't know if I believed it when I talked about it. I was just trying to pump myself up.
Right. Okay, right. Well,
But it worked out, and no, I don't carry it around. It's more of a trophy than it is a ring. So I kind of use it these days when I go to talk to young people or, you know, address people here or there or go to my kids' events.
It's also a personal safety device, is it not? I mean, it's so big, right?
It's a weapon.
It's like brass knuckles.
It's a weapon. Oh, my goodness, Paul. He used to walk around all the time talking about he was going to get a ring. He was going to get a ring, all right? He's got to get that ring. We used to rip him mercilessly.
I'm guessing when he was a rookie, you'd say, forget getting the ring. Can you go get us donuts, right? That's probably what would happen.
When I was a rookie, I was worried about getting groceries.
It's just so true, man. But what about the state of football in general, man? Do you see it? Do you like the direction of the football universe, LC?
Well, that's an excellent question, Wolf. And, you know, as a former player, I think we probably have a different perspective than most. I understand that in the name of player safety that there has to be some adjustments made in terms of point of contact and things like that.
Yes.
I.e. going toward a player's head, knees, or whatever, what have you. You know, horse collars, all that kind of stuff. You know, player safety, I think, should be put high on the list of priorities in terms of, you know, the direction of the game. You know, but I also want to preserve the quality of the game that we all know and love, and it's a physical game, it's a physical sport. You know, when you strap it up, you don't put those pads on for nothing.
Yeah. No, you know what, Larry?
There could be contact out there.
Yes. It could get nasty out there as well. It could get dangerous out there.
It's a jungle out there, Wolf. It is, brother.
I'm totally with you on this. You have to install and institute a lot of the rulings that they have. There's no doubt about that, because player safety, and when you're talking about the concussions and you're talking about CTE, this is real. There's no doubt about it. They have to take these measures. I'm with them on it. But you still have to be able to line up and stick your face mask onto another man's sternum. Do you not at some point in time?
Man, if not, it's flag football.
Yes.
It's a physical sport. It's a team sport. It's a sport of accountability. It's a sport of resiliency, survival. It's a whole bunch of those things, you know, whatever you want to put in that blank, but it's a physical game. And my concern, to answer your original question, is how much do we cut into the game that we love in the name of, you know, protecting the participants, the players, and the game. So where do we find that balance is my answer.
Yes.
Here's my last question for Larry Centers. Larry, legend here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. What do you think DeAndre Hopkins does for the Cardinals offense? Kenyon Drake was raving about how Kyler Murray, his running ability, opens up more lanes. And now when you add a top three receiver in the NFL on the outside, it just spreads the field even more. What do you think the impact is going to be of D-Hop?
Well, I think the major benefit is going to be he's going to bring a mindset to the collective group on the offensive side of the ball, a toughness that we're coming for you. And, you know, hey, if I don't get it done, the other guy on the other side is going to get it done, and I'm coming to block for him either way. He's a team, from what I've observed as him about him as a player, is he's a balls to the wall guy, hustle play guy. You know, when you know catches everything. He's in my top three in terms of quality hands in the National Football League. Run after the catch is you better get some people in the area whenever he catches it. You know, so he's going to bring a mentality that I think that. A dog mentality on that side of the ball that I think is going to elevate the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely, LC. No doubt about it. Can I ask you this personal question in regard to the quarterbacks that you played with? Who was the best quarterback you ever played with?
Which year?
No, you played 14 years. Who was the best quarterback?
He's the best quarterback you ever played with.
Which year, dog?
Oh, you mad? You just don't want to say it, do you?
Look, wait a minute. I'm getting to you. I'm going to entertain you. You know, of course, the easy answer would be, you know, Tom Brady. You know, I have the benefit of looking at his career, you know, in totality for the most part, to this point. I like Jake Plummer a lot, of course. I played with a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in order to specifically be clear about the answer to your question, that I have to break that down into who is the best passer, who is the best guy in the huddle, who is the best.
But you know, a quarterback, LC's got to be all those things, all put together, right? That makes the best quarterback, the tangibles and the intangibles.
Yes, absolutely. And the intangibles, as the game continues to evolve, I think the intangibles become more about the mental rather than the physical. You know, how well a guy can, you know, maintain a perspective no matter what's on the scoreboard. You know, can a guy remember that we only have two timeouts left and I need to throw this one away if it's not there right now? You know, all those things come into the equation when you talk about, you know, the evolution of the game is, you know, you can't really hit the quarterback. You hit him high, you hit him low, so he knows that he doesn't have to worry about Deacon Jones coming off the left side, you know. So it's more about the mental.
No doubt about it. Hey, Larry, man, you know I love you, brother. You know that I do, man. I look forward to seeing you down the road, Lord willing. Okay, my friend?
Yes, sir. And you stay safe and healthy, Wolf. And until next time, man, hey, be great.
Okay, brother.
Good ain't good enough.
Thank you, man. God bless you.
Larry, thanks for the time. Write it down. Week 6, Cardinals will be in Texas. Wolf will be there. Monday Night Football at Dallas. He's going to buy you a 5-star steak dinner. So you can go ahead and put that down right now. He owes you based on what he put you through your rookie year. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Drake in the backfield. Two tight ends, two receivers to the left. First down to the 20 of Arizona. Shotgun snap to Murray, and he's going to hand it off to Drake. Off the right side, big hole, 30-yard line, 35, 40, 45, 50. Near side, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! An 80-yard touchdown run by Kenyon Drake.
Are you kidding me? Kenyon Drake on a 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends off the right side of the line. A massive hole, and Kenyon Drake takes it to the house, baby.
He had the vision. He had the ability to get to the second level, and then he gone. He finished it. Untouched to the house. You heard it, week 16 at Seattle, and it's a great reminder for Ron Wolfley. As the Cardinals that game ran 40 times for 253 yards as a team, because, you know, Wolf keeps talking in the offseason here on the Big Red Rage, brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert, about throwing the ball and going 4 and 5 wide. Wolf, the best offense is a balanced offense. And the Cardinals set a team record last year, averaging better than 5 yards a carry. Let that wash over to you.
Absolutely, Paulie. And when you think of that highlight right there, that 80-yard touchdown run by Kenyon Drake, remember, that was out of 12 12 personnel, and it was a play that they actually had lifted from the Baltimore Ravens. Remember, Cliff Kingsbury told us that himself, right? Broke it down for us, as a matter of fact, out of 12 personnel. And if you go back and watch it, they put both tight ends to the left of Kyler Murray, and then they ran what ultimately turned into a counter play. The two tight ends ran out like they were going to try to hook the edge, and man, it just pulled everybody in the secondary. It pulled everyone on the second level in the linebacker box. It pulled them away from where Kenyon Drake was running, and he countered right back to the weak side, and he was gone.
He averaged 5.2 yards a carry as a running back last year since the trade for a fifth-round pick from the Miami Dolphins. Think about that. He was in town 3 days, started the Thursday night game. He's a guy that showed the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a guy, and I give you a hard time about the whole balanced offense thing. There's no bigger proponent of the running game than Ron Wolfley. I also give you a hard time about fantasy football, and never, hardly ever will I cite fantasy football numbers. But when I tell you, from the moment he joined the Cardinals, he was the fourth-ranked fantasy football running back behind Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, and Ezekiel Elliott. Think about that. Think of the production you have to put out there to get that sort of status, albeit fantasy football, but that tells you what his stats were. And I'm asking you, a full season in this offense, and you add DeAndre Hopkins, what does that portend for Kenyon Drake?
Yeah, no, that really is, Paulie. That is going to be fantastic, because you're right. There's going to be a lot of times where there's going to be six guys in the box. There's going to be seven guys in the box, if that, right? If you go 11 personnel, and I do believe that is going to be the number one personnel group for the Arizona Cardinals, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers, I think you're going to get a six-man box, Paul. I think you're going to get a six-man box. And you have six guys who can block those six men in the box, counting the tight end. You got your five down linemen, of course, and you've got a tight end. I believe you're going to see a lot of six-man boxes. And, man, is that going to help Kenyon Drake and this offensive line. And don't forget, Chase Edmonds. Don't forget Chase Edmonds, and I think one of the better camp battles is going to be Chase Edmonds and Eno Benjamin for playtime. When Kenyon Drake gets a blow, who's it going to be? Chase Edmonds or Eno Benjamin? And those two guys are so similar, it's scary.
And don't forget Chase Edmonds calling Kyler Murray an extra blocker. So when you talk about guys in the box, and then somebody has to be mindful of Kyler Murray keeping it and bolting around the corner, someone's got to keep contained and an eye on number one. That's even more running room.
It's going to get loose inside that box, Paulie.
All right, we continue with the Big Red Rage presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. By the way, single game tickets on sale. Go to azcardinals.com/tickets. Back right after this.
Mayfield with a short set, looking to throw, fires left side, end zone, passes high, intercepted in the end zone by Pat P.
Let's go, man. It's my game today. Let's go, man. I will not let you down again. You hear me, coach?
I know you will.
Got you.
Man, I remember that like it was yesterday. Yeah, the interception, Pat P off Baker Mayfield. He celebrates and comes down the Cardinals sideline. Down there is a sideline pencil neck reporter, Ron Wolfley, and Pat was beyond animated. And courtesy of Cardinals flight plan and NFL films, he was wired up. You heard it for yourself, his reaction with Vance Joseph. And that really signaled that Pat was back. He missed the first six games. He had some up-and-down games, but then he really got traction in that last month of the season, and it was great to see a guy who's been a perennial Pro Bowler and a guy based on today, and we both heard him meet the media today, Wolf, seems to be more motivated than ever.
You're absolutely right, Paulie. You know, I think of that sound right there, and I think of the last four games that Pat P played in the Vance Joseph defense for the Cardinals last year, and I think of focus. And I think of challenged. I think of those two things, right? And that's exactly the way I want Pat P coming into this year. I want him focused, Paulie. I want him motivated coming in. And he was talking about that very thing. You put those two things together with Pat P, right? Challenged and focused. And now with all that raw talent, I expect Patrick Peterson to have a big year for a couple of reasons. But I expect him to have a big year this year.
So what do you need to be an elite cover corner? You need some of the best athleticism in the league, and you need the mental capacity, the mental fortitude, the confidence. And despite that up and down year a year ago, right? I mean, Pat P has never lacked for confidence, even when he came back off the 6-game suspension. Remember his saying, the P2 effect?
Yes.
Well, the confidence was on display again today. Roll it.
I didn't lose anything. I didn't make, you know, all decade for no reason. They just don't hand those out. My athletic ability, my skill set is still there. My passion and fire is still there. Just playing with a lot of uncertainty to jump back in the thick of things. I mean, Superman maybe can do that, but I'm not Clark Kent, you know, so it just wasn't happening for me. But I can promise you this, is definitely going to be a big year. Just wait and see.
Ooh, that's what I like, Paulie. I like it. Just wait and see right there. This is definitely going to be a big year. He said, I've never really played in a contract year, right?
Correct.
And that's one of the reasons why he's so focused, one of the reasons why he's so locked in. I love that. And I think that is big with Pat P. That's one of the reasons why I think he's going to have a phenomenal 2020. Another one of the reasons why I think he's going to have a phenomenal 2020 is because of Robert Alford, the Robert Alford effect. Would you say that Robert Alford is a dog, Paulie? Would you say he's a dog, the corner opposite of Pat P?
Every single day last year in camp, he got into a skirmish.
I knew you were going to go there, and I love that. Paulie, your belt-high perspective on the sideline, did you see him bark at the moon? Yes. It's who he is, Robert Alford. He is a dog. Well, guess what? Pat P's a dog, too. And somebody hit the Ozzy Osbourne right now because they're both going to be barking at the moon, right? I mean, well, this is why I'm bullish on Pat P. Iron sharpens iron. And that's what Robert Alford is going to do for Pat P.
He said, among other things today, this is P twice now, said, I have a chip on my shoulder that's bigger than it's ever been.
Buried in your heart, Pat.
Right. And we know how he relishes getting assigned the number one receiver. He lives for that, and he commented on that as well today.
I'm not worried about no contract. If it happens, it happens. I'm worried about going out there every Sunday, and whoever my assignment is not letting them breathe. I'm pretty good. I used to call myself a witness protection officer. I'm pretty good at putting people in witness protection. I mean, you can ask guys all around this league, offensive coordinators included, players. When it comes to 21 for the Arizona Cardinals, they have to alter their game plans.
All right. Now, speaking of game plans, you tell me, if you're Vance Joseph, isn't the first move you make every single Monday of a game week is to put P twice on the other team's number one receiving option?
Yes.
If they have that elite receiver who's worthy, and some teams don't, but for the most part, if you're going against a Julio Jones, you're going against a Michael Thomas, I mean, what kind of luxury is that if you're a DC and you have a P twice, and then you can all of a sudden just check that box?
Yeah, there's no doubt, Paulie. You're right, absolutely, about this. But again, I told you one of the reasons why I'm bullish is because, of course, I think Pat P is focused. I think Robert Alford is going to bring it out of him. But, Paulie, never forget that these corners, very much like diva wide receivers, and I'm not calling DeAndre Hopkins, hear me well on this, I'm not calling him a diva wide receiver, but wide receivers that are really, really good in the NFL, corners like to show off. And now all of a sudden, he's got a teammate who he knows is going to be watching him, DeAndre Hopkins. Do you think Pat P has a large amount of respect for DeAndre Hopkins? Say yes. Because he does. And now all of a sudden, it's just another reason why I think Pat P is going to be hyper focused. Just get out there in a good old fashioned show off. Hey, DeAndre, watch this.
You know, I've had a front row seat for every single game Patrick Peterson has played for the Arizona Cardinals. He just made the all decade team, and certain matchups stand out. a Steve Smith, who's just a Tasmanian devil, right, and a smaller guy. And then there's a huge guy like a Calvin Johnson. When Calvin Johnson breaks a huddle and he comes to the sideline and he's matched up one-on-one against Patrick Peterson, that's when you know it's the NFL.
How about Julio Jones? Sorry, Paulie, to cut
you off.
Julio Jones. Julio.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. But, some of the matches they've had.
But that 2017 game at Houston, you tell me, Wolf, when Pat P went mano-a-mano against DeAndre Hopkins, and Hop got him a few times.
Yeah.
But I think there were four catches for an average of 11 yards a reception.
Yeah. No, Pat P did the job.
Those two guys battling, that was something to behold.
But, Paulie, once again, you get this all the time. The NFL locker room is nothing but a big hyper-aggressive alpha male pecking order. That's all it is. You sit there and it's like, okay, watch this. Watch this. You get stars that actually kind of show off for each other, right? They challenge each other. Iron sharpens iron, man. I'll go back to saying that. I expect Pat P, personally, to have a huge year.
And it was great to hear him give a shout-out to his wife, Antonique, who's a doctor.
Yes.
In ICU residency.
Hello.
She's been on the front lines of COVID-19. They have two young kids at home. She showers in the casita. Pat calls it her own mini locker room before she even enters the house. How about a big-time props to Antonique?
Barking off the call, play clock at three. Kurt got the play away. Back to throw. Warner with ton of time. Throwing right side. Fitz open. Caught at the five. Heading for the pylon. And he is going to be ruled. Touchdown, Cardinals! Larry Fitzgerald! Do you believe it?
The Panthers acted as if they were going to blitz. They backed off, played zone, and Larry Fitzgerald crams it down their throats.
Larry Fitzgerald, you are absolutely ridiculous. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, just an iconic playoff run for Larry Fitzgerald. It was showcased. It was documented last night, Cardinals Archives. If you caught it on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports, it's part of the series, right, where the Cardinals are some of their great all-time classic games.
Yes.
We're documenting. We're going back. Now, Carolina's coming up next week. Last night was the Falcons game. But you saw Larry off the flea flicker. And it was just the beginning of a monumental playoff run by Larry Legend. And it's amazing, and you heard it right there, how much fun football is when you're making a playoff run. And if the Cardinals are able to capture some of that this year, after two lean years, and there's some serious rebuilding that's gone on. But, Wolf, the Cardinals archives and these classic broadcasts, it just reminds me of how fun football is when you're winning and you're a true threat to contend.
Yeah, Paul, you're right about that, man. But, I mean, I think everybody would be able to relate to that, right, when you think of the 2008 season. When you think of the 2008 season and, of course, the 2009 playoffs, right? I mean, just what an incredible season that really was for the Arizona Cardinals. And Larry Fitzgerald, a postseason run that I think really that was where the Larry legend began, if you ask me. Now, listen, I know he had successful years before that in the NFL. I'm not saying he didn't. But when Larry became legend was in that postseason run, and it was just flat out incredible to watch, wasn't it?
You know, you tweeted out, shock the world. That became the mantra. Yeah, you know, our Jim Omohundro was tweeting out, and he documented the Pash Factor, which reared its head at least three times in that Falcons opening win in the postseason. You know, there's just so many other storylines that went along with the Cardinals and making that run to Super Bowl 43.
Darnell Dockett, Darnell Dockett, Darnell Dockett. He changed the game. He did with that play, the penetration. He came out of nowhere. They didn't even block him. And suddenly there he was in the backfield, right? And it was the one thing that Doc did so well is penetrate, right? And it's one of the reasons why on the snap of the ball as a color analyst, Paul, you expand your view. You take everything in at once. You look at the ball, and on the snap of it, boom, you expand your vision, and you think of everything at once when you're watching it because you may not get the replay. And that's the reason why I didn't see how Darnell Dockett penetrated. They just didn't block him. They didn't block him, and he was in the backfield, and suddenly the ball came out. Antrell Roll picked it up. Touchdown. Changed the complexion of the game.
Wasn't that part of Bertrand Berry and Darnell Dockett and a lot of the Cardinals D linemen predicting the snap by rookie Matt Ryan?
B-Train will tell you that, Paulie.
Yep.
Yep.
And by the way, later in the broadcast, it was great to hear Pash say he rode him like a horse, talking about Darnell Dockett celebrating the end zone with Antonio Smith after the safety. Ken Wisenhunt wasn't very happy at the time about the 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah. Special thanks, Jim Omohundro, Mitch Vareldis, Larry Senners, our special guest tonight. For Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. Cardinals Archives returns next Wednesday at 6 with the 2008 NFC Divisional Playoff win against the Panthers. That'll do it for the Big Red Rage.
Number one, Kyler Murray!
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.